is the Tom Likas Show.
I'm not Barack Obama.
Hey, John, glad to hear that.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in
Norwich. Yes.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time. 24/7 at blowmeuptom.com. You can hear us in our brand new free app. Get it at Google Play. Get it at the App Store. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. It's you and me and another bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And here we have in studio family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, welcome.
Always a pleasure, Tom. What's going on?
Not much, just doing my thing over here. What's going on with you?
Well, you know, a lot of things have been swimming through my mind, and I've had a lot of really strange cases in the past few days. You know, on top of it all, Tom, my mom is actually in town. She's from New York, and I thought it would be interesting to bring her in studio, and here she is. And I promised her, Tom, that you're always nice to guests, so she doesn't have to worry.
I am nice to guests.
I know. You know, my mom has an interesting past, interesting life, and she is a therapist, and she has been divorced, and she was actually a single mother. I was raised, I've always said, by a single mother, and I've had, you know, the criticism of that and the reality of what that was, but I think that was also very hard for her. And a lot of the things that go on and whatever in terms of my career and my work, you know, she's aware of. I tell her about some of these things and so forth, and I think she's got some interesting insights. So I wanted to bring her on the show today and you know, let the listeners hear what she has to say. So are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You know she's there. She's sitting right next to you.
I don't make sure she's plugged in. She's like all these wires all over the place.
Here. Oh, okay.
My mom's name is Phyllis, by the way.
Well, hi, Phyllis. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hi.
So, Tom, basically, I thought, you know, maybe she could give us some insight, certainly, you know, ask her some questions or whatever. You know, we've been talking, and we drove here together, of course, and we were talking a little bit about how marriage has changed. And I was telling her this. I think she might have heard already because she listens to the show, of course. But I was telling her some of the kind of like icons of the show. And one of my big memories of what you've talked about, Tom, was your mom, I think, on the floor scrubbing the wood tile or whatever it was.
Yeah,
in
my
the Bronx.
My mom used to get on all fours with a can of wood preen. Remember wood preen?
You know that
came
stuff?
In a can, and she had a rag, and we had hardwood floors in our home, and she would literally, you know, today when mothers have hardwood floors, that's a whole other story than when my mom had hardwood floors. And so there she would be. I would come home from school at 3:30, and she would be on all fours. With a rag, not missing a spot. We had many, many, many square yards. It was like Boston Garden, and she was down there waxing the floor. And I don't think today's women are doing that or willing to do anything like that.
I wasn't from your mom's generation. I think I was the younger generation.
Slightly.
From the 50s and 60s.
So you were after the wood preen generation.
Definitely.
Uh-huh.
Really?
I was college educated mm-hmm. and thought that cleaning a house was beneath me.
Oh, dear. Well, there. So did that help your marriage?
No.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I wasn't into rolls, but my husband was.
Yep.
Now, I remember, sorry, Tom.
No, go ahead.
I remember you talked about some of the pressure that your parents, my grandparents, put on you to get married, right?
Yes, I had joined the Peace Corps, and I had no interest in getting married, but I did have a long-term boyfriend, and my parents were very nervous about me. They felt that I was too much of a maverick, and that I needed to be tamed, and that it would be good for me to be married. And
really?
So they pressured me to marry, and my boyfriend pressured me to marry. And so after a great deal of thought, I just felt that my parents, being older than me, knew what was best for me.
Yeah,
and
like
got
that,
married.
Tom, right? So you got married around 21 or 22?
21.
Right, okay. And in that context, you were saying particularly, I guess this is in the 60s, that if a woman was in her mid-20s, she was already considered kind of an old maid, right?
Oh, yes. During breaks in college, during college intersessions, girls would come back afterwards with diamond rings, engagement rings. And if you didn't have one, you felt like you were on the way to being an old maid. So you were praying that you'd be married by 23, because by 24 you were an old maid.
Wow. Well, those were the days when a lot of girls went to college to get their MRS degrees, yes. Right?
That's true. I didn't, but most of my friends did.
Right.
And so, so many women did not finish college. They'd go for a year or two, find their future husbands, and drop out.
Right. That's the MRS, Tom.
Yes. Well, today's equivalent of that now is women become public relations representatives. They go to work for a PR firm, and they try to represent as many rich or successful people as they can until one of them finally takes them down. That's the equivalent of the MRS degree today.
Yes, that's true.
I was thinking also the pharmacy reps, you know, those girls that take the pharmaceuticals to the doctors.
Well, those were only looking to meet doctors. The ones at the PR firms, you know, they'd like to meet rock stars or actors or people who run multi-billion-dollar conglomerates. You know, they're looking for a variety there, and that's usually what happens. You know, you never see any 40-year-old PR people. They've all been taken out of action by that time, replaced by a new crop of 23-year-olds.
I love it.
That's the way they do that.
Well, that's the way to do it. If you want to meet a man in that circumstance, you have to put yourself in that circumstance.
I see.
That's right.
That's great. So that's their only goal. That's nice. Just cast the net, and that's about all. I was talking about divorce, of course, Tom, and my mother, of course, is divorced, and I was around, 10 years old when you got divorced?
Yes. My son was 10, and my daughter was 6 when I got divorced.
And you ended up being literally a single mother, right?
Yes. So it was my choice to divorce, and I had this fantasy that there was a parade waiting for me, that I was going to have this very exciting, glamorous life, and I was totally unrealistic.
So meaning a parade, meaning a parade of available men,
yes.
Or a parade of men who wanted to get married to you, and
yes, I thought
have
that,
to double down.
And each one better than the
better,
last,
yes,
right?
Someone better and better than the last one, yes.
Of course.
And of course, I did meet a lot of men over my single period, but I don't think I met men that had half the good qualities of my husband.
That's interesting.
Oh boy.
But I had to have the experiences to know that.
But when you were actually married, right, prior to that, I think you were married about 10 years, right?
I was married 11 years.
Right. Then did you feel that you had missed out? Because that's the classic thing that women tell me, my clients, you know?
Yes, I think I married young, and I thought that there was a lot of excitement and opportunities that I missed.
It's interesting because Tom and I talk about how women very much want to get married, but they don't really want to be married. And that women lament to me, and they say, oh, God, I can't wait to be single. It's going to be so great, you know, because they feel that they were, like, repressed or whatever. They were, like, locked in the house with the kids or something like that. And they had this husband who's obviously a loser and an asshole, and he's no good and whatever. And that their expectation is this big, exciting life is waiting for them as soon as the divorce goes through.
Yes, I think there are lots of women that are totally unrealistic. Absolutely.
And what do you think of marriage now? Think of the changes. This is something that we talk about. The reason Tom refers to his mother, which I know she's a little, you know, before your time slightly, but also, you know, whatever, in that culture. We talk about how marriage is different now, where you see the expectations are different. I have these pictures on the internet of these young girls, like, vomiting into toilets and whatnot, that women have changed, don't you think?
Well, I think that during the time that I was married, we were definitely into roles. Our society expected women to function a certain way and men to function a certain way, and there's a lot less of that now. And I think things have improved in some ways and gotten a lot worse in other ways, so that men are more involved with children, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing for the children. And men have shown their, quote, feminine side. So that they're able to like really enjoy their children more than they might have in the past. They want to spend more time with their children. And I think that...
Isn't that more due to the fact that many men now have to enjoy their children on the weekend when they have visitation rights?
No kidding.
So now they appreciate them a lot more because they hardly ever see them.
That could be. I mean, I do think that a lot of men that are divorced don't have a lot of the responsibility that goes with raising children during the week, day to day, the homework, other things that go with day to day activities. But I do think that on the weekends they try to make up for it. But it's a lot more, I think, in some ways enjoyable for them to be with their children, and in some ways a lot harder because they don't have that natural relationship where they know what's going on, just all the time with their children. Instead, they're almost like strangers trying to catch up.
You know, what do you think of these cases that I do where the wife, ex-wife gives a lot of trouble to the guy, where he really has trouble seeing his kids? You know, these very vindictive ex-wives. That's extremely common now.
I feel very sad for a lot of men who are divorced because I feel that they're at a disadvantage. They don't have the time with the child so that there's, as I said, a natural relationship. And a lot of what happens is they feel that they're sort of an outsider, that the child is becoming influenced more and more by the mother and seeing, maybe not trusting the father as much and feeling more devoted to the mother. The child might feel that the father is someone that they have to be careful with or watchful of. And then very often if the woman is remarried or has a boyfriend, their children become more influenced by that person rather than themselves. So I think it's just a very difficult situation.
Like the new father sort of takes the place of the stepfather or the
right.
mother's
new
boyfriend.
The new father knows what's going on with the child more than the father does.
Do you think that women are different? Because this is, I think you and I have discussed this many times, that women seem much angrier today, much more inclined to be selfish, much less maternal. I think that's the word that strikes me the most.
I think women have gotten harder. I think they've become I think a little more selfish, more concerned with making themselves happy at the expense perhaps of their children and of their spouses. And I think that they just are more concerned about their own futures rather than trying to please other people. It's a totally different slant on life.
If you look at the women that are admired in our culture today, and we tease about this on the show quite a lot also, one of my neighbors, Kim Kardashian, is the most admired woman in America among younger women. And this is a sick, narcissistic person. And she just exudes this. And women are watching these shows hypnotized. They think this is the greatest thing ever. It seems that they're very disinclined to become self-sacrificing in any way towards their families and so forth. I mean, that thing that Tom talks about with the mother, waxing the floor, I presume that isn't the only thing she ever did. But that, to me, is sort of encapsulates a woman in the past who dedicated herself very selflessly to her children and to, just the day-to-day thing of trying to, make meals and make the husband happy and to kind of hold the family together. And in the women that I've dated, my age and younger and whatever, their attitude is, kind of very, I'm into my career, and if I have children, the maid will raise them, and they seem very sort of distanced from all that. And I think that, is something that feminism really caused. And I think that, you talked to me about feminism when I was younger, and I was leaning certainly towards most of its theories, that women should be equal, that women should earn the same money and be able to be, whatever they want to be, or whatever, doctors or accountants or whatever. But at the same time, it seems that society, and in particular children, I think, have borne the brunt of it and have been the big losers in the whole situation.
I think people's values have changed. I mean, women years ago, in my mother's generation, for example, were much more concerned with giving as much as they could to their children and their husbands so that the family would prosper, life would be good. And today, women are juggling so much more that they tend to, I don't think they can give as much attention to their children to their husbands.
Yeah, but being good to your husband, I think, to the modern woman is degrading. This is kind of the image I have of like the husband who comes home tired and he's worked the whole day, and he's supporting the whole system. He's paying for everything. Maybe the wife works too. Okay, I don't know. There are different circumstances. But the husband wants to be attended to in some way, and he says to the wife, you know, can you rub my shoulders? Can you bring me a beer or whatever? And in some way, it's a very deeply held belief of the modern woman that that's degrading to her. That waiting on her husband in some way or being, you know, attentive to him is humiliating. You know, he should be attentive to her. You know, why is he being such an asshole and selfish and whatever? And what I've found in most of the cases I've done when I've represented women is, like you said, they started off expecting that at the end of the divorce there was going to be a parade waiting for them. And when I talk to them later on, they're so bitter. They're so angry about the, not the divorce itself, but like the aftermath, where they end up being single mothers, they end up being in the dating pool, they end up having to resume careers and struggle and pay the bills and everything, and they're saying, I didn't sign up for this, what the hell is this? And they didn't really appreciate how much their husband was enhancing their lives, and when it's gone, then they're like, you know, they're just furious with him, basically, and they tend to take it out on the husband in terms of giving him trouble with visitation and custody and whatever. And we've seen the really extreme cases where they, you know, make accusations of, you know, child molestation or whatever the hell it is, all kinds of crazy stuff that we see. But I just think that the transition is something that you really bore witness to in your life, right? And I'm divorced, so you have children. My sister, your daughter, is also divorced, right? So, you know, you're divorced and your two children are divorced, right?
Yeah, I think life is just very complicated today.
Tom had four divorces, you know.
Right.
So I mean, this is commonplace now, right?
I just think life is really complicated.
But wouldn't people have been much happier if things were, let's say, and I'm not being this big nostalgia, but I mean, weren't people happier before? Is this progress?
You know, I don't know. I think there were some people that were happier before and some people that weren't happier.
Well, I don't know what
that means.
People
stayed in marriages years ago, even if they weren't happy. They just expected life to be difficult and they went along with it.
One second. If you were married at one time, like my grandmother said this to me, I remember, your mother. She said to me, you know, all I wanted from a man was a good provider, you know?
Yes, now, expectations were very different.
Well, they're much greater now, right?
Right, they are.
I meet a woman, she tells me, I want a man who's my confidant and my best friend and my, you know, fantastic lover and my partner, and we do everything together and we're inseparable and he can read my thoughts, and it's like, you know, just keep piling it on, right? I mean, that unrealistic expectation, if anything, is leading to divorce.
I think the problem today is that people's expectations are much too high.
So if I'm single and I'm trying to meet a woman and her expectations are out of this world, isn't it smarter to do what Tom says and just say, look, there's no reason to get married. There's nothing in it for us guys. The hell with it. Don't you agree with that fundamentally?
Okay, I agree. I have not gotten married since my divorce.
Okay.
I have desire to be married.
All right, so why is
but,
that?
But
wait,
one
I second, don't finish that thought. That's surprising because I remember that people thought you'd get married right away.
Right, people did think that.
So what? You never got married again?
No, I never got married.
How do you account
again
for that?
Because I really began, after a period of time of missing being married, I actually began to really enjoy and value my freedom.
Holy shit.
And that is something now I am not willing to give
everybody
up.
Gary is like smiling and shaking his head yes.
I think that freedom is one of the most important things that a human can have.
Well, that's what Tom talks about all the time. But it's unusual that a woman would say that. Usually that's how guys express it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just love that I spend my money the way I want. I love that I can go where I want. I don't have to explain myself. I don't have to defend myself. I don't have to compromise. It's just very important. All those qualities that have allowed me to experience life to its fullest. And I'm not willing to give that up.
Now, when I talk to a guy, we had someone come visit a few weeks ago that was a young lawyer that I've been working with. And he got married lately. And on some level, I felt bad for him. Seriously. I mean, do you relate to that? When one of your friends is getting married, don't you feel sorry for her?
No, I have to tell you that marriage is a very mixed bag for me. On the one hand, if you don't get married, very often you think you've missed something. People talk about marriage and the feelings of sharing a life with someone and building a life with someone and sharing a future. And very often people that I know that have never married feel that they've missed out.
But they're talking about like security or commitment that doesn't really exist. That's really an illusion. It's so easy to file for a divorce, right?
That's true. It is an illusion. The safety that marriage gives people.
Well,
and
that it makes them think
security,
they
security, yes. But at the same time, why it's such a mixed bag is that then in terms of children, people who don't have children feel that they've missed out. And yet having children is a tremendous drain on your life. I mean, it's just a very time-consuming, hard, day-to-day experience.
Yeah, wait, so what if someone recognizes, just let's say that's really true. What if someone recognizes that and says, having children is draining, it's exhausting, it's something I don't want to deal with? I mean, why does it mean that they're going to live to regret that? What does that mean? That's nonsense.
They can make
a conscious decision. Yeah. They could say, I love children, but I'm not selfless enough to be a good father or mother. I mean, you see so many people that should not have had children, that are selfish people, that are shitty parents, and they end up bringing up screwed up people into this world because they were checking off boxes, you know, visit Europe, finish college, have a child. That's it. They weren't actually doing anything that they were really inclined towards.
Well, that's all true. There are people that should never have children, and there are people that don't have children, and it's a very good thing they don't have children. But I have to say, speaking for myself, I'm glad I was married, although getting out of it was horrible, and being in it wasn't so terrific. And I'm glad that and I'm glad that I had children, although that was also a very difficult, as I used that word several times, time in my life.
You just realize what you just
said.
But
I'm glad that I experienced it because I have now come to the point in my life where I'm extremely happy in my life, and I'm glad that I had those experiences. I think they've made me a smarter person, a richer person.
But even though they were bad, as a woman, listen, maybe it was less possible in the 50s or the 60s, but you know, as a woman especially, you can have children without a man.
Yes, you can.
A man has to get a surrogate or whatever. A woman, you could meet a guy or you could get artificially inseminated or whatever. I mean, when you say that the actual being married was bad for you, getting out of it was bad, right? On some level, Tom always says, you know, what's in it for us guys? You're almost saying the same thing. I mean, I've been fair about it. I've said on the show many times that I think marriage is pretty bad for women also. I'm amazed that women want to get married so badly. I think it's generally a very bad deal for everyone concerned.
But they have so much to gain in divorce court, Adam, as you well know.
Well, some do.
Some do.
They get lovely cash and prizes, lovely parting gifts
Monty
from Carol
Hall,
Merrill.
Right? Carol Merrill brings the lovely parting gifts.
That's right.
I have to say that I wasn't one of them. I'm the one that went for the divorce, so I did not benefit. I did
well,
not
nowadays,
with
though,
a lot
it doesn't matter who went for the divorce.
Right.
Right.
What ends up happening is the guy's going to pay and the woman is going to pocket the difference.
That's generally true.
You know, so what is the incentive for a guy to get married? I don't see it.
Well, I have to say that when I was happy in my marriage, I was very happy.
So that's for, what, 15 minutes?
And when I wasn't happy, I was very, very unhappy.
Right.
All right, great.
There is something to be said for, I understand why people want marriage, but unfortunately they're not willing to like make all the sacrifices once they're married.
Yeah, women aren't today willing to make any sacrifices. Tom talks about the reality today that he has a woman that cleans his house, okay, that he pays, you know, X number of dollars. You can have a chef, you can order in terms of meals. I mean, the things and services that a wife provides to you are now completely unbundled, you know?
Including sex whenever you want it. There's always somebody. Just you put Tinder on your smartphone and you're good to go.
There's no doubt about it.
You know, I've been married and I've not been married. And I understand exactly what you're saying, and I also know what it felt like in marriage. And all those things that you can have outside of marriage do not feel the same as when you're married,
I
have to say.
I don't know why you would say that. You can't explain that. That makes no sense to me. You're talking to a guy now. Think of our audience who's listening to us talking here.
I know who's listening,
here.
Yes.
You would tell a young man now in his 20s or 30s that it's a good idea to get married? It's nonsense.
I would tell someone that if they want to get married, if they want to have children, if they want to have that kind of a relationship where people are planning their future together and willing to share everything they have, they have got to spend an awful lot of time knowing that person, knowing themselves, and not jumping into anything. And once, if they do get married, they really have to be willing to put a lot of effort and energy into it.
You come home and she's screwing your best friend on the living room couch. He serves you with the papers, and now you got to give her half your stuff. Okay?
But everyone doesn't live that way.
Oh, come on. Women now are completely unbundled from it. They have text messaging. They have 10 email addresses. They have this whole private life. And when the old guy that they used to have a hang up on, their old crush, is in town from high school, from wherever they're from, okay, and looks them up on Facebook, you know they're going to go meet him at his hotel. Okay? There's no reason not to. I've talked to so many women, and they're absolutely merciless. And, you know, Tom and I always watch that crazy show with Maury, you know, and they have these women that are saying, oh, no, I would never cheat and blah, blah. And 98% of the time the DNA test shows the guy is not the father of the kid. The mother is always lying about it. And women are scandalous today. You know what you see. What you don't see, Tom, is she's smiling now, okay? She knows. I mean, no. You know what I'm talking about.
I hate to think of men and women as being enemies. I really do.
It's war. It's war.
I hate to think of it as war.
Is it or isn't it? Tom, it's war, right?
I hate to think Santa Claus is not coming on December 24th.
Where's Santa Claus?
Guess what?
Well, I'm much more optimistic
than you are. All right. Well, we really appreciate your optimism, but we live in the real world. And
but
it's
not
never
optimistic enough to get remarried.
But that's,
I understand what's important to me, and what's important to me is my freedom.
Isn't that what's important to everybody?
Well, some people are willing. They feel they're getting enough out of marriage to give that freedom up.
Because they don't know what they're about to get or lose. And then they get married, and now it's too late. They can't press the rewind button. Yeah, you know, now more than half of all marriages end in divorce. And as I say on the show often, and Adam's heard me say it, we've done a census in this country every 10 years since the year 1790, when the father of our country, George Washington, commissioned the first U.S. census. And we've done it every 10 years since. And in 2010, the U.S. Census showed something it had never shown before. For the first time in American history, the majority of adults are not married.
Right.
Yes, that's true. I know.
By the way, Tom, I just found an article I posted on Facebook. Gary showed me that people aren't even living together anymore. They're not even shacking up.
Which is what I've been recommending for years.
Well, you're way ahead of your time, man. The reality is that circumstances have radically changed. And, I mean, in all fairness, and I have kids, you know, my mother's grandkids, obviously, I couldn't recommend for them to get married. I think that's really crazy. Gary's talking about this Russian billionaire throwing away $7 billion to his ex-wife.
Right.
Is that a joke? Are you serious?
There's not a marriage. There is not a sex life in the world with $7 billion.
Forget it. I don't care what she was doing, man.
You know how many maids, cooks, nannies,
a whole country
prostitutes
full.
I could have hired for $7 billion, I'd have change left over.
I don't know, man. It just doesn't seem to add up. Sorry.
Well, are you sorry, Tom, that you married? Ever married?
I'm not sorry about anything I've done in my life because everything that happened built up to who I am today.
Exactly.
But if I were starting over today in 2015, let's say I turned 18 today, no way would I get married under no circumstances. There is no reason to do it. You know, in 1974, when I was 18, there was still a bit of an element of, you know, if you want to have sex on a regular basis, you get married. It was like a guaranteed experience on a regular basis.
Not guaranteed, as it turns out.
Well, when I was 18, that was what we believed. When I was 18, people were still getting over the fact that people were living together. You know, they were still shocked at that. There was still a stigma of people being divorced. My parents have been married for 40 years. At the time, it was less than 40, but my parents have been married all those years. And I thought that's the way you do it. That's what you do. You get married. That's what they did. But things were in motion. You know, in 1975... that was the year I got married when I was 18. That was the year that the no-fault divorce became legal in New York State. And by 1977, when I was getting divorced, it cost me $350 to get a no-fault divorce, and it was unheard of. They used to advertise in the Village Voice, divorce, $350.
Not bad.
So that's what I did. I called an attorney on 57th Street and 7th Avenue, and in fact, my wife and I at the time, we were represented by the same guy because we had nothing. We had
exactly.
No kids. We had no property. We had nothing.
No complications.
So we went and got the divorce. But now the problem came when I waited 9 years because that experience was not a good one. And then I went and got married again thinking, finally, now I've met the one. And I can finally fulfill what my parents and all their friends have been doing. Now I can finally do this right. And sure enough, I got involved with somebody who liked what I did for a living and wanted me to bring her into the broadcasting business. And I did. Helped her get her first job in radio. Helped her get her second job, this time in television. And sure enough, before long, there she was making demo reels with some cameraman at the station who was telling her how beautiful she looked on camera. And before long, the two of them were meeting at hotel rooms at my expense and having fun. And I was devastated by that. And that's when I started to realize that this thing is rigged, you know, because once I found out about it and I said to her, hey, I know what you're doing. I've got all the evidence here. She left and then called me the next day and said, I'm going to take you for everything you got. I'm hiring Gloria Allred. I'm going to shake you upside down. That's what she said to me.
Unbelievable.
And the reality hit me that she could go out there. I could help her financially all those years, help her with her career. She goes to work, meets a guy at work, has an affair with him. And then later, not only are there no consequences for her, but she can come to me and say, I'm going to take everything you've got.
I love her remorselessness. That's
you know,
the best.
But I have to say, I mean, she wasn't a nice person.
Oh, really?
She wasn't a nice person when you first met her. You just didn't know it.
Okay. Well, no, the system allows that, though.
Oh, come on. She played it. What are you talking about? He's exactly right. The legal system encourages a woman to do that because there's no consequence to her. And then instead of saying, I'm sorry, I screwed around, she denies it and denies it. And then when she's backed into a corner, she goes, oh, yeah, now I'm going to put the screws to you financially.
But that's how, you know, back in the day, back in my parents' era, everybody hired private investigators. And if a woman was found having an affair with somebody.
An adulteress, oh, my God.
She might get no alimony at all.
Right.
It could affect how much child support she got. I mean, it was a very different world back then. This whole idea of no-fault divorce was speared by feminism, and the idea was to say, yes, just because a woman is having an affair doesn't mean she's not entitled to support.
Maximum.
Especially if there was a long-term marriage.
Right. So, what's the message that a man like me gets from that? I'm never going to get into a long-term marriage because this is what could happen to me.
Right. And what's really disgusting about her in particular is her remorselessness. She doesn't feel bad. She's not even sorry. You know, a woman could come to you and say, you know, I'm really sorry. My emotions got out of control and I had this affair and I didn't mean to. Here a woman turns around and feels nothing. She's angry at you. And she's like, how could you do this to me? How could you play with me? And now I'm going to take you for everything you got.
Right.
Like, what? What kind of mind game is that? What kind of mindset is that? That's the modern woman. That, to me, is the encapsulation.
I think it's unfortunate because I think that so much has become distorted, you know, in marriage and between the sexes.
But that's the Santa Claus thing that Tom talks about. Maybe that's not the world as you want it to be, but that's how it actually is. So isn't that the point?
Well, I think then something has to be done. There have to be changes made because I think that this is just, I don't like where this is going. I mean, I can't see anything wonderful ending up at the end of this, except for more hostility and more anger.
But it's what Tom's talking about. You have the census showing people aren't getting married anymore. People are living their own lives. And you said it's wonderful to have your freedom. So that's what people are doing by and large. There's still going to be certain, you know, more orthodox or religious people that are going to get married, and that's fine. Then there's going to be a lot of dum-dums that get married and end up getting screwed. And the majority are going to say, you know what, the hell with that. I saw what happened to my uncle. I saw what happened to my older brother. I saw what happened to my father. I'm not going to do that.
By the way, look at some other effects that we are seeing here. Okay, birth rate is down.
Yeah.
Now we have people living in small. You see these stories all the time about New York City and San Francisco, where they're building these smaller apartments that are like, you know, 120 square feet or something like that.
So many people are living alone.
So many people are living alone.
Right.
People are not shacking up anymore. They are not moving in together anymore.
But look what's happening to our society.
Well, what is happening to us?
What's
our
happening
society?
Is that people don't know how to relate to each other anymore. People are becoming so, you know, inner instead of socializing. They're involved with their technology.
Well, they are, but by the same token, part of that is due to what? You have a bunch of kids who grew up in households where they never knew their dad, sometimes didn't know their mom. And many of them say, I'm not going to make the same mistake they made. They grew up during a financial crisis. They grew up during 9/11. They grew up during all these things that were happening. And so they have decided to live their lives smaller, simpler, you know, ride sharing with Uber, home sharing with Airbnb. seriously, and
he's
and
right.
Yeah, but how is that better?
That's so much better.
It's not a matter of better. It's just an adjustment to the realities of the last 10, 20 years.
But are people happier? No.
I by the way, were they happier when they stayed in marriages for 20 years being abused by someone? Or because their church wouldn't give them an annulment? Were they happier then? I think that's a myth.
I mean, I don't know. I can't speak for everyone. But I just feel like this is where the direction
we're
going.
Were you happier married? I mean, you weren't.
You just admitted it.
You know, I have to say, in some ways, I was happier married, happier than I was when I was single. Although I had a very interesting single life, and I had a lot of boyfriends. I was one of the lucky women that had a lot of boyfriends, but I didn't find that they were people of quality. And so I have very good memories of my marriage, but at the same time, I wasn't happy enough to stay in it.
So the question is, you told us you're happier now.
I am.
And well, then why would we assume that all the people who are taking their vacation with Airbnb and the people who've got six roommates today and the people who are doing ride sharing and they get five of their friends into an Uber, who's to say those people aren't happy?
Well, I can answer for myself. I'm happier now, but I still have four grandchildren. I still have my children. I still have had a lot of experiences.
But you could have had children without being married. You were a single mother anyway.
Well, raising my children alone was a lot harder than raising my children with a husband. I have to say that part.
I don't know. It's a mystery, Tom.
Life is complicated. I've said that. It's complicated.
I mean, I happen to believe that, and by the way, I use Airbnb. I use Uber. I enjoy all of that, and the fact that I don't have to pay anyone child support or alimony or any of that stuff makes me really, really happy.
But you also don't have the experience of being a father.
I don't need the experience of being a father. You know what? I've got two paid-for houses. I can travel anywhere I want. You know, life is a series of give and take. You know, I could be a father and have my luxurious dinner at Shakey's or the Chuck E. Cheese. Or I could take my vacations at Disney World or Disneyland or what on a Disney cruise. Or I can be going to wine country, Bordeaux, Burgundy, Champagne, Sauternes.
Or you could do both.
Chianti.
But you could do both.
No, you can't do both.
Really
people
can't.
Say that, but they never do it.
Yeah, you really can't do both. You really can't. It's really
it's
a
not
choice.
The same. Going to Tuscany with kids in tow and having to drag them from place to place in the middle of the summertime, I've seen the few people who try to do it, and it looks like total misery.
No, you leave them home with the mommy, the grandma and the grandpa,
yeah, yeah,
and then
too
you
much
go on
work.
Your vacation.
You know what? Here's how I go on vacation. I get on the kayak, I find a low airfare, and then I pick a date, and I'm good to go. I love it. And by the way, Phyllis, you love it.
Right.
You know what? I have to say, I'm glad that I enjoyed my children, and I'm glad that they're grown.
Right.
See, she's glad to have you out of her hair.
That's right. That's what she's saying.
But I like being a mother.
Yeah, but when we were younger, you didn't. That's the whole
freaking
point.
No, I did. I liked being a mother when you were younger.
You were tortured. You were tortured, I remember.
I was tortured also, but I liked it.
You were the basic, overspread, exhausted single mother.
That's true.
And I think it had a big effect on my sister and I. We were scared of that.
But I always say my highest highs and my lowest lows as a woman had to do with my children. When they achieved, nothing could be better. I have a PhD, and my PhD did not mean as much to me as my son getting his degrees.
Well, what if you had a son who was a criminal or a heroin addict? Look at what happens to people. You don't know how your children are going to turn out.
You don't.
Okay.
But life's a crapshoot.
Oh, great. And now it's a crapshoot, Tom. There we go.
But it's not a crapshoot, because look at me. I am not going to wake up and get a phone call that my son is the Sandy Hill murderer, okay?
But you're not going to wake up and find out that your son is president of the United States.
That's okay. As long as I don't have to wake up and find out that my son, Timothy McVeigh, is in custody, I'm good.
Oh, man.
You look at the parents of these people, you're like, holy cow, what
I
is
that
life?
I see them all the time. They can't even believe it.
Did you see the crazy mother and aunt of the Boston Marathon bomber giving press conferences on her porch?
God.
You got to be kidding me. Who wants to go through that? Not me.
I go to court and I get to meet the parents of some of my clients that are going to jail. And believe me, it's very traumatic for them.
Yeah,
very
traumatic. That's true. And there are times in my life where my son has tortured me and my daughter has tortured me. But I have to tell you that I'm very proud of Adam. And I'm very proud of my daughter. I mean, you know,
they're both in balance, that's all. And it's easy to say that now that I'm in my 40s, okay?
No, people who won the lottery are glad they bought a ticket for Lotto.
Yeah, that's right.
They're glad they bought it. But then there's the other 9 million people who bought a ticket who did not win.
That's the right analogy, by the way.
But they still have hope, and they still go out and buy another ticket.
Right.
But again, they're delusional to continue having hope. You know, I never buy a lottery ticket, and I got rich just partly from the money I save by not gambling at Las Vegas or on horses or on the lottery.
That's true.
And it's the same thing here. You know, I'm not gambling on getting married and having kids and hoping they turn out right. I know too many people whose kids are layabouts, drug addicts, criminals, troubled, depressed. I know people who have kids who are agoraphobic. They have kids who are clinically depressed and need constant care. They're mentally ill. Sure, there are people who have kids that turn out normal, but that's not the wheel of fortune I want to be playing.
I think most people have children that turn out. I mean, more people have children that turn out normal than that have all these problems you're describing.
I don't know if that's true. You're the one who said yourself, look at what's happened to society today.
Well, I think what disturbs me is the relationship between men and women and how it affects children.
Well, that's the whole centerpiece of what we're talking about.
And what do children have to look forward to?
No, but
what are they going to turn into?
Children are the ones who bear the real price of feminism. When a woman has the delusion that she can have it all in this perfect life and all this other BS, and she's off screwing around with her career, the kids are the ones who are left alone. They're the ones who have borne the brunt of this reality. That's the truth. And when I go to family court and the mother and father are screwing each other over, it's the kids who get screwed. That's the truth. That's the reality. Tom is just saying, I'm washing my hands of it. I don't want to know about it.
I understand. Everyone has to do what feels right for them.
Great.
And I have a great life. I mean, a great life. It's fantastic.
What you don't know is that Tom's mother was always telling him, you know, when he was a little kid and he said, I don't want to have kids, she was telling him, you'll change, darling. You'll see. Give yourself time. You'll change your mind. And he just never did.
That's right. That's exactly right. My mom said I'd change. I announced at 8 years old, that I was never having kids. And that was 50 years ago. And guess what? I didn't change, Mom, wherever you are. I didn't change.
You know, I have to say, I announced to my family that I wasn't getting married and I wasn't having kids.
Well, they put pressure on you.
Then I ended up getting married and having children. And I'm very happy at the stage of my life, too.
Well, you have to say that, you see.
No, I don't have to
You
say
have
that.
To say that. Everyone says, well, I love my son to death, you know. She tricked me into having him, and she told me she couldn't get pregnant, and she told me she was on the pill, but I love him to death. Yeah. I mean, ruined my life, of course, but I love him to death. Bullshit. Ridiculous.
You can imagine Adam and I have very interesting discussions.
Right.
I can imagine.
This is what it sounds like every night at my place, Tom.
Really?
Just kidding.
Oh, my. I'm going to take a break here, Adam, because we've got a lot of phone calls.
Great.
A lot. And we have, of course, family law attorney Adam Sachs sitting in studio with his mom, Phyllis. And your phone calls here at 901-3000. Tom, you can dial us right now. 901-3000. Tom, let's go. It's you and us at 901-3000. 866.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Devin Bronson is back with us to talk about the black box, but this time instead of him talking about it or my talking about it, many P1 listeners like you have been writing to Devin and the folks at BN Audio to tell them how happy they are with the black box. What are people saying?
Yeah, the email response has been great, and I wanted to share a few of those with you today. One was from Robert in Escondido. He wrote, after plugging my iPod into the black box, my ears were very pleased. Thank you for a great product and exceptional service. We love that. Next was Stephen Kurtz, wrote us, my neighbors hate me now. That was good.
That's how you know it's good.
Yep, he's using it. Next was from Matt Hardy in Maui, out in Hawaii. He bought three of these from us. He wrote, I am blown away. I cannot believe the sound that came out of such a small box.
Now, this is very exciting. If someone listening now has been turned on by hearing what other P1s are saying, how do they get a black box?
They can go to our website. It's bnaudio.com, and they can enter the promo code Tom in their checkout and get 20% off.
Don't take my word for it. Take the word of other satisfied P1 listeners. People are buying that black box like crazy. Just go to bnaudio.com, enter the promo code Tom, and get 20% off. You're going to love the black box.
Hey, bitches. This is Man June. If you missed the Gary and Dino show, you missed this.
Bacon and cheese bourbon? That's just terrible.
Bad idea.
Fucking cunt. Fuck that bitch.
Fuck it. It's tired.
Ginger time.
It is ginger time.
And you'll be rewarded for the cyber
game. Congratulations to you.
Trying to Dino and the Dutch.
How can I help you today?
Evalve.
Stool.
French fries.
2 cups of coffee. Pound cake.
2 bananas.
Yeah.
This is shit.
Shut up, Randy.
Not good, man.
I'm fucking better than him right now.
That's all I can say about that.
The Gary and Dino Show. Go to GaryandDino.com.
Support the Tom Likas Show by using our Amazon.com links to do your everyday shopping. You know you'll be shopping at Amazon anyway for the low prices, whether you're at home or at work. Why not pay the same low Amazon prices and support your favorite show at the same time? You know, Amazon offers super low prices on books, clothing, appliances, music, just about anything you can imagine. And we get credit every time you click on our Amazon links. You know, Amazon revenue makes it possible for us to continue long into the future. Look for the Amazon banner at our website, blowmeuptom.com, or click on the shopping cart icon to shop Amazon on our brand new Tom Likas Show app.
Hammer time!
It's the Tom Likas Show. At 901-3000, Tom, Adam Sachs, and his mom Phyllis are here in the studio for your phone calls at 901-3000-866. Here's AJ in Atlanta. AJ, you're on with Adam and Phyllis. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, Tom?
Hey, AJ.
Not much.
What's going on, Adam?
Hey.
Hey, all right. Levis. Nonetheless, I just need some advice. I got a situation going on down.
Okay.
Pretty recent, so I just wanted to get your advice on it, see what I could do. I'm a long-time listener. Been listening for around 9 years, so I'm very familiar with Tom Likas and
nice.
Everything that's going on.
Thanks.
So, yeah, I kind of broke some of the rules.
Oh, really?
However, yeah.
You don't say.
Yeah, I broke some rules.
How'd that work out for you?
I know. She was,
no bueno.
She was different. I know.
So pretty much I've been in a relationship with a female for a year and a half.
All right, so that's strike one.
Yeah, that's right. My mom and her pressured me to get married, but I know it wasn't going to work out. So I didn't get married, but
oh, thank God.
I did something could be worse, so. Yeah,
which was?
With her.
You had a kid with her. There we go.
That's strike two.
Yeah, yeah.
May I ask,
yeah.
Strike two, why you did that? Why did you insist on having a kid? Let me guess, it wasn't planned. You went in unprotected, and then bing, bang, boom, suddenly you had a problem.
Right, my friend, correct. I wanted to get an abortion, but...
Oh, yeah, abortion, yeah, right, okay. Yeah. She became very religious once she was pregnant.
Oh yeah, she suddenly turned into the biggest Christian after that.
It's amazing that they can fornicate, which is really a big sin, right? Multiple times, but then once they're pregnant, they find Jesus again. That's amazing.
Correct. So pretty much, like, I got a new job a couple months ago. Matter of fact, at the beginning of the year.
Oh.
And
I hope you're not going to miss 60% of your paycheck.
All right. So another strike for me is. Well, as soon as she got pregnant, I let her stay at home and not do anything. So I've been paying.
There's strike three right there.
AJ, one of the things that happens in the establishment of a relationship, and it really relates to when you break up, even if you're not married, you don't get divorced, but the woman talks about her lifestyle. And this is especially relevant when you're married, but when you're getting a divorce or you're getting in a paternity situation with support, is that her expectation is based on the life that you gave her. And when you guys were together, you let her not work. And so that's her expectation, not only legally speaking, but that's her. She literally never got her act together. And if you think she's going to get her act together now that you're separated, forget it. You know, she's going to expect to continue living off of you because you established that.
Exactly. And that's the thing. The new job that I have, I've been traveling all around the United States since January, and I'm making easily six figures. And I'm only 25, so
great.
I'm making a lot of cash for my age, and pretty much.
Well, I'm proud of you, but you're going to be handing it over to her.
Exactly. And today was the day she actually broke up with me. So she told me she was sick and tired of the long distance relationship or whatnot. And I have a house in Atlanta. We lived in Atlanta, but she actually went to Florida a couple weeks ago. And ever since then, we barely talked to him today. She was just like, okay, child support. So.
I know. This is what Tom talks about, right? So here you're making her dream come true of having a child, right? You're traveling and working your ass off at a young age, 25. You're making more than $100,000. Very impressive. And you're giving it to her to support her lifestyle with your child. And how does she show her appreciation? I don't want to be with you anymore because I don't need this long-distance BS. Thanks, honey. Right? And she grabs your kid, moves to Florida without your consent, by the way. That's kidnapping, but you didn't do anything about it, so she's going to be fine. And now what's going to happen? She's going to put you on child support, which means that she's going to start trying to garnish your wages, taking it from you, and she's going to give you hassles about seeing your kid and dealing with the whole situation. You got to get
And
yourself...
her new boyfriend is going to be living in her place that you're going to be paying for.
Right. Well, that's just the insult to injury part. You know, and then she's going to encourage your kid to call the boyfriend dad. I mean, we know the whole story. This is why you can't do this to yourself, dude. It's just too much. Tom, it's like I hear this again and again and again. It just makes me sad.
I'm amazed guys don't learn. How many times do we have to talk about this? And more guys keep calling up, well, I broke some of the rules. It's the same rules they break every time. Mm. I know their whole story before they open their mouth.
Yeah. I'm sorry, man. You got to get yourself a lawyer, obviously. You got to try to fight to keep the child support at some reasonable level, and you've got to fight for your custody and visitation rights. And she had no right to move to Florida, so you got to address that as well. But, I mean, you're already pretty much behind the eight ball, so there's a limit to what can be done for you. And you can't do this. You just can't do this. What do you say, Phyllis? We hear this all the time. This is like the standard stuff.
I just think you have to go to a lawyer and put everything in writing so that you're protected.
But you don't see the selfishness of the woman. You don't see that you can't see that far as a woman yourself. That all she's thinking about, she doesn't work, she doesn't care. He's knocking himself out. He's traveling. He's trying to make a living. He's giving her the money. He's not spending it on heroin or whatever. And how does she thank him by splitting with the kid?
Yeah, well,
nice.
I am
Thanks
disturbed
lot,
by
honey.
Her behavior. I am disturbed by this behavior.
Well, that's a standard.
But I don't know all. I don't know the complete story, but I am very disturbed by what I hear.
I am willing to hazard a guess that he wasn't such a bad guy and that he did the best he could for her, and she pays him back by giving him the big F over, okay? Let's face it.
Let's talk about what happens so often, and that is a guy like this goes out and works hard to support his family or goes on the road to support his family, and then the wife says, well, you're never around. You're never here. I was lonely.
Yeah, so I screwed your best friend. What do you think happens to the
military guy? I
screwed
your best friend. I'm moving into a place with my new boyfriend. Now you're going to have to pay for that.
Look at these women that marry the soldiers.
That's a wife that's not acting like a wife.
Oh, really?
Sorry.
That's your basic modern woman, I'm sorry to tell you. And these guys that go and fight in Iraq or Afghanistan or whatever, okay, putting their lives on the line, and the wife goes, oh, you were never home. You neglected me. It's like the same BS. Same
nonsense. Very immature women.
No, it's just women who want to cash checks, and they don't want to have to make any sacrifice, and they want to know about any of the reality of what it means to be in a committed relationship because they don't give a crap. And when they cheat, they're remorseless. They actually believe that the guy deserves it. Okay, that's how they kind of rationalize the whole thing. And what's worse...
Well, they're not taking responsibility for their own action.
Even worse,
their boyfriends or husbands.
They go to their girlfriends and they say, I cheated on my husband, blah, blah, blah. And the girlfriend, instead of being horrified, encourages them.
Tell me all about him. Is he great?
I got news for you. They go tell their mother and their mother says it's a good thing. Good. good. You show him. I never cheated on your father, and I should have.
Yeah, but nobody wins.
Okay. Well, that's a relief.
Right. Well, no, actually, she'll win. The kid won't win, and the caller won't win. But she will win because she'll have her kid. She'll have the new boyfriend. She'll have everything paid for. She'll suffer no consequences of any kind
at
all.
I don't think she'll win. I think she's creating a very chaotic life for herself and for her child. And I don't know that boyfriend, the new one, will stick around very long.
Even if he doesn't, AJ will be paying and paying and paying, and she'll be free to do whatever she wants at his expense. It's just another example of why you don't want to have kids. Not in the 21st century. I'm sorry, you don't want to have kids. If you do want to have kids, I tell the guys, you want to have them through in vitro with a surrogate mother so that no one else can tell you how to raise your kid or how much you have to pay. You take care of that yourself, and if you need some child care, you do what today's single mom does. You take the kid to daycare, you get a nanny, still cheaper than having a girlfriend or a wife.
All I can tell you is I've raised children as a single mother, and it's a very hard job. It is not a pleasure to have not to have someone helping you who's as interested and as concerned as you are. It's not the same.
Right, but getting divorced and having your kid grow up, 10 miles, 100 miles, 3,000 miles away from you isn't much better, and that's what's happening today. More than half of all marriages end in divorce. It used to be kids were embarrassed to go to school if their parents had broken up, and now it's the norm.
That's right.
That is true.
So who wants that? AJ, good luck. That breaking the rules. That's what it does. That's what happens. 901-3000, Tom, is our telephone number. Here is Tim in Ballston Lake, New York. Tim, you're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Tim.
Hey, Tim.
And hello, Adam.
Hey, what's up?
I got a question. I know this girl, she's legally married. Her and her husband haven't been together for probably about a year now. He actually moved out of state. During this time, she and this other guy, she's pregnant now, going to be due any day. Uh-huh. And just out of curiosity, what's going to happen? I mean, because she's still legally married, the husband going to be on the birth certificate? And is he still financially any obligation?
Tim, do you have your eye on this woman? Is that why we're hearing the story?
No, it's my girlfriend's friend, so I hear it all the time. So I just want to see if I can give her some advice to shut her up on it.
First of all, don't try to rescue her, okay? This is the classic female scandal story. But it is true that the law says that when you're married, any child that's born of the woman who's married is the husband's child, legally. And so you have to show this estrangement and so forth. But I'm amazed at how many people separate and never file the papers for a divorce. I went on dates with women who told me after a few dates, hey, you know, I should tell you the truth, I'm still married. I haven't been with him in 7 years, but, you know, we never took care of the divorce. And that's like crazy. You know, you're still legally a partner to that person. You could be responsible for their debts or their problems. And like you say, now that she's having an affair with someone and they have this thing dangling or whatever, it is theoretically possible that this new child that she has, let's say the guy she's with now dumps her, she can go back to the husband and go after him for child support, right? Crazy. Crazy stuff.
Man, what a mess.
Yeah, but that's a child that you could actually prove was not his, and the law won't care. I mean, think about that. She could get a DNA test, he could get a DNA test, prove, you know, 100% the kid is not his kid, and the original husband that never got the divorce with her could still be liable for 18 years of child support. And again, that's why you can't get married. You cannot put yourself in these crazy situations. Women are too nutty and they're too unpredictable. And to put your life into essentially what they were saying before in the conversation with my mother, this crapshoot, you're putting your entire future on the whim of a woman who's irrational by her very nature. Not a good bet.
All right, Tim, thank you. Good call. We'll take a break here. We'll continue with family law attorney Adam Sachs, his mom Phyllis, and your phone calls at 901-3000-TOM. You can call us right now, 901-3000-TOM. Let's do it. It's 901-3000-866.
Free at TomEverywhere.com. Download the Tom Likas app. Now, 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
All right, boys, let's talk insurance. Coslo Insurance. C-O-S-T-L-O. Now, you've probably heard Jeremy Rubin on our show. Jeremy's family has owned and operated Coslo since 1965, and they're all about getting you the right protection at the right price. Now, you know I got my Tesla Model S insured with Coslo. Well, you know I was so happy with their service. Now I've added two more of my cars and my home in the Hollywood Hills, and it's not just me. Plenty of listeners have called to tell us how thrilled they are that they've made the switch. Look, there's a reason Coslo has been in business for almost 50 years. Give them a call for a free, no-obligation quote. The number, 818-707-7711. Or visit CosloInsurance.com and see how much you can save. Property, auto, commercial, health, or life insurance. It's 818-707-7711. Or visit CosloInsurance.com today. Coslo. C-O-S. T-L-O.
We're here with Dr. Skanky Poon. He's the director of testicular abnormalities at the Poonjai Center for Ball Health. Doctor, what can you tell us about tiny ball syndrome?
Oh, totally tiny. Terribly tiny balls.
Yes, it's tiny ball syndrome.
Terribly tiny, totally tiny balls.
Well, you heard the doctor.
Terribly tiny.
Don't let it happen to you.
Tiny, tiny balls.
Newer, faster, harder.
Boys, I've been encouraging you for years, using the services of a professional to help you navigate some of the more difficult times in life can be invaluable. It has been for me, and it's great to hear that so many of you have been taking back control with the help of our friend Paul Beatty at Sydney Counselors. Paul has years of experience helping guys who suffer from severe crisis, suicidal tendencies, and more. He studied a range of approaches and could tailor sessions based on what works for you. Now, this is one-on-one counseling designed to address issues head-on and help you get back on track. Paul's focus is to help men find their own way through many common issues, alcohol and other addictions, depression, self-esteem, coping with crisis, and managing anxiety and stress, even getting over relationships. Now, if you're in Sydney, you can meet for face-to-face counseling at Paul's office in North Sydney. Or, if you're anywhere else in the world, you can meet with Paul via Skype or phone from the comfort of your own home. Visit Sydney Counselors at supportforguys.com. Go there now, supportforguys.com, and take back control today.
Hammer time.
Tom Likas Show at 901-3000-TOM. Adam Stacks, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can give me a call toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check my website, www.adamlawyer.com, and send me an email, which I love, adam@adamlawyer.com.
Let's go to Simon in Perth, Australia. Simon, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs and his mom, Phyllis.
Oh, hi, Adam, Tom, and Phyllis.
Hey, Simon.
We really like your work here in Australia. And as I said to Tom a few weeks ago, we have similar stupid man-bashing laws here in Australia.
Of course.
In Australia.
Of course you
do. In Australia, women instigate divorce, I think, far more than in the U.S. So if it's maybe two-thirds of women instigating divorce in your country, here it's 70 or 75%.
Wow.
And so women just get women just get dissatisfied and leave their marriage and marry some loser, you know?
Well,
very easy.
Of course.
And
you know, it's funny. Before you tell me, I was talking to Tom, you know, and Tom loves women from, like, South America and whatnot. And I was having this fantasy that, you know, it's different in other places, you know? And I was talking to an Australian guy, and I was saying, oh, it's better in Australia, right? It's different in Australia. He goes, yeah, it's different. It's 100 times worse.
By the way, I made it very clear that I think the exception to the foreign women theory is any country where women speak English as the primary language.
There you go.
So Australia, UK, New Zealand. South Africa, I mean, if they primarily speak English, that's where the issue comes in. But it's not an issue in Spain or Italy or France.
True.
Those are a whole different story.
Maybe Germaine Greer's book, The Female Eunuch, didn't make it to Spain and wasn't translated, so perhaps that was the case.
I think they've got it, don't worry.
Adam, these things, I just summarised three things I find extremely unfair about the current family laws, okay? I'll just tell you just 3 points. Number one, the ease of women getting a violence restraining order against men.
Of course.
All I have to do here in Australia is march into the police station, any police station, and a VRO, as we call them here, is automatically issued, okay?
Yep. That's
number two,
here they're called domestic violence restraining orders. Same thing.
Yeah. The second thing I find very unfair is in a divorce, men's assets are not calculated like what they had before the marriage. For example, if I own a house, the legal mechanism is we call a certificate of title, and my name alone is on that certificate of title. But then we divorce later, the little lady who has nothing at the time of marriage but debt marries me or moves in. Then she later can have up to 70% of the whole pie, even though my name is on the legal mechanism
right.
for the certificate of title.
Right.
And the third thing, just quickly, child support here in Australia is not linked to access to children.
Right.
So if a man is paying, then in my view, he should get access through his money, you know. But men pay, but it's a separate legal mechanism. Men have to be dragged through the court in many cases just to see their kids. So there's no link. You pay, but you get nothing for your money. So
right.
They're my 3 points.
Right. Well, that's how it goes.
Excellent. Simon, thank you for the call. Andrew in Phoenix, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam and Phyllis. Hello.
Hey, Adam and Phyllis.
Hey,
and Tom.
Hello.
How y'all doing?
Hey, Andrew, how you doing?
So, Adam, I have a question. I'm almost done with my 18 years of child support.
Oh, dear.
And
what is that, Tom? 352 or 300? How many payments is that?
I don't know. I could have.
Wait a minute.
312.
Probably bought a couple of Lamborghinis.
That's 18 years is 18 times 12. That is 36 times 6. That is 180 plus 36 is 216 payments.
Oh, God. All right. Well, I'm glad you're almost done anyway. Okay. So, what's the big question?
So, at the end of it, it's one of these arrangements where once your child turns 18 or up to 19 if she's still in school.
Right.
Now, she's already no longer even in school.
Right.
But, of course, mom still wants the child support to go for as long as possible.
By the way, one second. I have had basically her mother come into my office and say, you know, I've been getting all this child support. It's been 18 years. How do I make it continue? You know, can I get it until they're done with college, or can I get it for another 10 years? A lot of women, you know, live off the child support, or they become dependent on it. Of course, as women, they don't save a dime. So they want it to go on and on and on. And interesting, I don't know if you're getting it garnished or you're writing checks, but, you know, it doesn't automatically turn off. Guys think that it does, and it doesn't. You actually have to go and get an order and get it turned off. Otherwise, it'll just continue. And you'll be surprised how the women will continue to cash checks that they're not entitled to. So you got to go and actually affirmatively get it turned off. I'm sorry to hear
that.
Did your daughter finish high school, or she dropped out, or what's going on?
Yeah, she's no longer going. Thanks a lot to her mother. She did such a wonderful job.
what's your relationship like with her?
Oh, it's excellent with her. You know, she obviously wants to get the heck out of her mother's house. She wants to move in with me.
Well, too bad she didn't do that before, you know?
Yeah. You know, there's about 4 or 5 months to go till she's actually 18. So,
there's
no sense.
I'm also licensed in Arizona, but the law pretty much parallels California. And when you look at it, what happens is once the kids get to be 10, 11, 12 years old, they can decide where they want to be. And it's very significant. And at a certain point, the courts are going to do what the kids want. And so I tell guys, listen, if you have a good relationship with your son or daughter, you know, and some stupidity where the mother got custody, you shouldn't wait till they're 18. You should start fixing that much sooner than that. And, you know, when the child's still 12, you still have a chance of really affecting their future and getting them out of their mother's clutches, you know? Something you should think of.
Andrew, I'll put you on hold, and Dean will put you in touch with Adam, and you guys can discuss it further if you want to. Let me get Edson in Victoria, B.C. Edson, you're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hey, how are you today, Tom?
Doing great. How about you?
Hey, Edson.
Fine, thank you. I love you, Adam Sack. You're awesome.
Thank you. How's things in Canada?
Pretty good. I wanted to ask you a question. I'm single. I'm not married.
Oh,
if I want to
thank
get
God,
married,
somebody. Gary, come on. Back me up here, man.
Somebody got it right.
Thank God. You're supposed to tell us how you you broke all the rules and you weren't listening, and I'm sorry, Tom.
No. Actually, I'm going to confess. I'm pretty much virgin.
Okay, that's a different story. How old are you nowadays?
I'm 35.
Okay.
But if I want to get married...
That's kind of, you know, interesting.
But if I want to get married, how do I protect myself from false allegations like, you know, rape allegations or child molestation allegations? Like, how do I save myself if a woman comes at me and she does this, that I have some proof or something to protect me from that?
Well, I got to tell you, Edson, if you're 35 and you haven't fooled around with a woman, you probably need to go see a therapist, I would say. I wouldn't jump into a marriage. No offense. I mean it constructively.
Okay. Thanks for that advice.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, unless you're very religious and you're waiting to get married or something, I don't really think that you should lose your virginity on your wedding night or whatever. I mean, like, you know, people used to do in ancient times or something. That's really not a good idea. It's probably better for
Why?
You. No, I just think that's crazy. That's like Shakespeare, you know? It's in the modern times, you should probably experience sex and, you know, experiment a little bit and get to know yourself and, you know, long before you get married. And I mean, I don't know what it means about you. Maybe you're very shy or, you know, I don't know, you could be gay. I don't know what your story is exactly. Maybe,
no, it's a religious thing. Like I'm supposed to wait before I get married.
You're a Muslim or a Christian or
yes.
something?
Yes.
All right. Well, I mean, if you're comfortable with that, I don't want to insult your religion or whatever. But it just
right.
seems to me that, you know, you're not really knowing yourself, and you could end up, you know, getting into a marriage with someone that you're very incompatible with. I mean, do you have in your culture?
I mean,
aren't
people already having divorces and getting incompatibility going the other route anyway? So I mean,
well,
I don't see the difference.
Well, let me ask you this: so where does your wife come from? Is something your parents choose her for you?
I would rather my parents choose it for me. Yeah.
All right, listen.
Or at least help me find one.
If that makes sense to you, then, you know, that's what you got to do. You know, in terms of what you said, being responsible or being concerned of some allegation, I mean, if your parents choose this fantastic girl from you, you know, for you, from a good family, then,
right.
you know, hopefully you guys can live happily ever after, right?
But you know, like how Tom, like it says, like if you buy a car, you have an insurance.
I think if Tom says if you buy a car, you should test drive the car. That's what I think. Wasn't that right, Tom?
Exactly.
There you go.
In fact, test drive it and then tell the dealer, you'll let him know.
Yeah, that's right.
Hand the keys back.
I know, Tom.
Why buy when you can rent? Why rent when you can test drive?
I couldn't agree
because
more.
If I want to have children, right, they need to have a wife and a mother and all that. So
you don't want that. You don't want that.
Didn't you listen to Ask the Atheist? What happened here, Edson? Come on.
No, but why? Why would I want that?
Because if it doesn't work out, which now in more than half the cases it doesn't work out, the man ends up paying the bulk of everything and not seeing the kid.
Yeah, that's a story that scares me, actually.
As
well,
it should
scare you.
Yeah.
It should terrify you, actually.
I'm terrified with that concept because... Because I'll just be thrown away like a garbage, and then that's the end of it.
Phyllis, what do you think? What's your take?
Well, I don't agree with you both.
Okay,
you
here you go. Edson, you're going to get someone who agrees with you. Here it goes.
Edson, if you feel that it's important in your life to be married and to be a father then I think you should marry and be a father. But I think
I'm looking at the society, how they view fatherhood and how they view husbands, and I start to even ask myself, why I want to do this role if my role has no value? Like,
Edson, what country is your family from? Are you from Canada?
Originally from Lebanon, but I'm living in Canada.
All right, so it's a different culture in Lebanon, but you don't live in Lebanon, okay?
No.
You live in North
no.
America,
right.
And women are different here.
I noticed it, yeah.
How could you not notice?
I'll tell you what, here's what I would recommend. If you want to get married and have kids, move to Lebanon.
No, it's not even that, Tom. If he met a Lebanese woman or an Arab woman or whatever who's from his culture or from the same country or from one of the related countries or whatever, she's not going to be that old-school woman either.
You think so?
Of course not. If she's in Canada, are you kidding? Or she, even if
no,
she's
not
in Lebanon.
In Canada. That's why I'm saying go to Lebanon.
You think
you need to do that.
Tom, Lebanon is pretty modern now, okay? Give me a break. Okay.
I don't
think Canada is here.
In terms of what? In terms of being a matriarchy?
I
yeah.
Well, then, you know what? You don't need to be married. You want to have kids, hire a surrogate mother, use a proper attorney to sign the paperwork.
No, but you don't get it, Tom. The mother is
do what the gays
important.
Do.
I can't have the child not having a mom. The mom is very important, so I cannot do that.
Well, then don't have a child. But I'm telling you, the risk is so great. Look at all the guys who call in. You hear all these beaten dogs and sad sacks who call in here. That's what's going on out there.
Yeah, but I think that in his culture, it's extremely important to be married and to be a father and to have a mother taking care of the children.
That's like your parents pressuring you to get married.
But if it's important to him.
Wasn't that a mistake listening to them? You just said before that your parents pushed you when you were 20 or whatever.
They did.
Yeah, well, that was wrong of them. And his parents are doing the same damn thing
because
of his culture.
I don't hear him saying his parents. I hear him
He's
saying
talking about his culture.
He feels it. He feels it.
I
think you have to listen to your heart.
I think you got to do what you want and take care of yourself.
I think you have to listen to reality and what's really happening in the real world. And what's really happening is that women get married, they love having a wedding, they love having baby showers, but then they don't like the grind of having to make your meals or clean up or take care of your kid every day. And so ultimately, the law encourages them to leave and then get you to pay for their future life. Why would you want that?
So there's nothing I can do to protect me from that, what you're saying. Yeah, like there's no insurance.
Well,
what you're
saying. Prenuptial agreement, I suppose.
And even then, it doesn't guarantee you on the child front. I mean, anything goes with the children.
That's true.
My fear is that allegation that false. Like, I hear that.
What is this allegation? What are you talking about?
Like false allegation. Like, she say, "Oh, I did this to the child."
Who is this crazy woman you're getting involved with? Do you know who she is already? She's been chosen for you?
No, but I'm hearing these stories, and I'm like thinking, is that simply becoming so common now?
Oh, God.
Like, are a woman doing this so much that it's
yes.
so scary, though?
Yes, they are. By the way, Iran is not Lebanon, but take a look at that TV show, The Shahs of Sunset.
Oh, my God. Come on, Tom, that's ghastly.
Here are people coming from the old country, and they come here, and what do these women turn into but the same scandalous skanks that grow up in the United States?
That's right.
Ouch.
Culture is very seductive. Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Well, you sound like a good guy, Edson. I don't want bad things to happen to you, man. What can I say?
And we're looking out for you here, Edson, as you know. Great call, as always. Thank you. Well, Phyllis, thank you so much for coming in and filling us in on all these details.
All right.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. All right. Adam, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you once again.
Thank you. Call me. And you can talk to my mom this time. She's around the next... what do you say, Tom? I'll be doing the routine for the next four nights.
That's right.
She's going to be around this week. You can call me at 800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check my website, www.adamlawyer.com, and email me, adam@adamlawyer.com.
Okay. And you know, if you're listening to a replay of the show, you're listening to us on demand, Adam comes in and does a bonus hour with free legal advice for you. It's every Tuesday every Tuesday, live at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
The entire Tom Likas experience in your pants. Get the app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary, he's Dino.
What a fun one that is.
We're brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com, click on the Beer Magazine banner, get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beer. It's
better believe it.
Beer Magazine. There's a theory abound that authorities may believe that one of the two convicted murderers who escaped a New York State prison was so well endowed that he was able to get a female worker at the prison to get him some power tools, if you know what I mean.
This was so crazy that I just wanted to make sure it wasn't a goof, so I checked it out. And there are several stories that cite this dude's well endowment as being the reason for the season.
That is correct. His name is Richard Matt. And if you look at him, you go, I don't know. I mean, even if he did have a big schlong, are you really going to...
I mean, just think about what they say here. By the way, all roads are leading back to this potential help from the inside. There is another story that has come out which says that a prison employee's cell phone was used to call several people connected to an escapee. It's starting to look like that well endowment may have paid off.
Yeah, thanks to his penis, he's now a free man.
So he's swinging the sword,
right?
And it worked to get out.
And ironically, they cut into a pipe.
By the way, anybody assisting in the escape, how about you use like a burner phone or something? How dumb are you?
Right.
God. Stupid.
Spanish cops say they have dismantled a trafficking ring. They said used voodoo rituals, including animal sacrifice and sex.
Yes, that all appears in the same sentence. Yes, in fact, those voodoo rituals proved to be quite profitable, except now they're busted. I guess women who came to Europe on these boats, they were recruited from Nigeria. They were enticed with false promises of employment. Once they arrived, everything went south. They were forced into prostitution. And basically, these dudes attempted to keep these women submissive by performing these tribal rituals.
Sure. Do that voodoo that you do.
And that involves goat's blood and stuff. Yeah. Nice.
I'm down.
A lot of these women were placed under spells. They used women's nail clippings and locks of their hair to convince them that they had placed...
Look at your eyes!
Under a spell.
You're getting sleepy.
Take off your clothes.
Don't make me get the chicken blood.
Take off your top.
Supermodel Kate Moss escorted off a plane after reportedly being disruptive while traveling from Turkey to London.
I don't understand a lot of these celebrities that get in a flying aluminum tube and opt to freak out. Mm. And I guess our friend Kate Moss got herself kicked off the plane after drinking vodka that she had stowed in her luggage.
That's the way you do it.
And then calling the pilot a basic bitch.
A basic bitch.
That's according to our friend.
Does that get
Mail
you thrown
online.
Off the plane now?
Yeah. She called the pilot a basic bitch.
What?
As police led her off the plane, she was a little drunk and had a disagreement with another passenger of the flight after she was refused alcohol and then went on to serve her own vodka to herself.
Vodka. Sure, she brought her own vodka with her. That is fantastic. I like that. I like people who travel with their own booze. And by the way, you got to be creative because you only have the small bottles. You got to have the airplane bottles. And then they all get to fit in a bag if they really want to call you out.
You just have a bunch of small bottles.
Right.
Then you're good to go.
Delicious.
Weird basic bitch.
She's asking for the Mrs. T's Bloody Mary mix and some orange juice. She's like, hold the vodka. That's
okay.
I got
my own bar back here.
I got this.
Yeah. Finally, a pig alert for you. It's Shanina Shake. What?
Yeah.
Shanina Shake.
Yeah, this is a different one. It's that Irina Shake is what we normally do.
Yeah.
This is the Shanina Shake.
Mm. She could use some knockers, though.
I'm not complaining.
I'm just saying. No, neither am I. If I'm going to pick it apart, she's another Victoria's Secret model.
God.
She got the look.
She definitely has all that.
Some weird bathing suits, though.
Shanina, I don't even know. I'm just looking at her stomach. I can't get back.
Plenty more newsforguys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary's Dino.
Take off your top.
Check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find it. Brand new show every single Friday. GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Your brand name is important to you, so it's important for you to protect it. SlamDunkDomains.com is where you need to start. The guys at Slam Dunk Domains are experts in helping you protect your brand with top-level domain names, .com, .net, .org, and many more. Plus, they'll host your website and email right at the same place. Visit SlamDunkDomains.com today. Enter coupon code TOM101 for a 15% discount on any purchase over $30. Let the guys over at SlamDunkDomains.com score for you and your business. SlamDunkDomains.com.
This is the new normal.
Does that ever obscure your view out the windshield?
No, it's great.